Here's something to think about. Are you confidently prepared to share your faith with your Latter-day Saint friend or acquaintance? Do you feel you have an adequate grasp of Mormon doctrine and history? Well, if not, then we encourage you to attend Mormonism Research Ministries' Compassionate Boldness Symposium coming up on Saturday, July 27th. This four-hour event will take place at the Adventure Church in Draper, Utah. MRM's Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson will focus on such issues, such as the Book of Mormon, the Godhead, and salvation. Special emphasis will be made on how to answer LDS proof texts and the questions Mormons may pose. Now again, the event is free and open to the public, so everyone is invited to come. For those who would like to do further research, a book table will also be available. This Compassionate Boldness Symposium will take place starting at 9 a.m. on Saturday, July 27th at the Adventure Church in Draper. Simply take the 123rd South exit off the I-15. The church is located right there at 352 West and 123rd South. We look forward to seeing you there. Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. And with me today is a good friend, John DeVito. It's been a long time since I've seen John. John actually worked with MRM for a time years ago. Don't worry, he left on good terms. In fact, another good friend of ours stole him from us. And I still hold that against Paul Cardin because John's an incredible man who's got a great testimony, a former Mormon. In fact, I think we called you our token ex-Mormon for the time that you were with
us. I think that when I got a lot of emails that you wanted me to respond to from Mormons because I was the former Mormon who could respond.
That's right. Because, well, some people just want to talk to someone who went through that experience. Yes. And we admit, I was never a former Mormon. Eric was never a former Mormon. Randy was not a former Mormon. Aaron, Sharon, none of us really grew up in the LDS Church or really had any connection as being a member of the LDS Church. And so some Mormons say that because of that, we really can't understand Mormonism. Mm-hmm. I don't really buy that. There's certainly some experiences that I could not relate to, not having gone through it. But it doesn't mean that just because you were never a Mormon that you can't understand the workings of Mormonism. But sure. You were.
Yes.
You were. Now,
yes.
You were born in the covenant.
Pretty much.
Okay, your parents converted?
My parents converted before they were married. They were married and in the temple, sealed for time and eternity. So obviously by the time I was born, spent every meeting in the church as typical for Mormons there on Sundays and through all the different events. So I had a pretty traditional background as far as my younger years. I was baptized at 8. Like most of the children, at 12, I received my Aaronic priesthood. I received my patriarchal blessing. And
do you still have that?
I do.
Have you gone back to read it just to see?
It was several years ago. I don't know if you remember this, but Mormonism Research Ministries, you had a call asking for previous
That's
patriarchal
right,
blessings.
We did. Uh-huh.
And I don't know if you guys ever read it, but I sent it to you all those years ago. Mm-hmm. And so while I was reproducing that to send to you, I read over it. And I confess, there were some things in that patriarchal blessing which, were pretty accurate, frankly. Mm-hmm. And so I admit that. Now, they were vague enough as well where, it's not like they were precise.
That's the pattern that we found.
Yeah.
Is when people were sending them in to us and we were looking them over, that many times the statements were very vague and very conditional. Mm-hmm. So if it didn't happen the way it said, it was probably because of some problem with the individual himself, mm-hmm. not certainly with the blessing itself. So,
right.
Yeah, that was a pattern that we noticed mm-hmm. when we did ask for that call. I forgot all about that. Wow.
And so I went to the temple. I was baptized for the dead. That was back in the day when they used an overhead projector on the wall with all the names, and you were immersed several times for different people. And so basically, I had a typical Mormon upbringing. I don't know, you know, who all your listeners are, but really by the time I hit high school, like a lot of youth that I just find generally today, you kind of get worldly, you get interested in just, you know, making money, and you're attracted to girls, right, and those kinds of things. And so I started working and even working on Sundays and not going to church and spending time just doing other things. And so I'd go occasionally to church. But by the time I hit, you know, that 18 time range, I had to wrestle with, I'd been raised my whole life. I mean, the expectation if you grow up in the church is to go on your mission. I mean, mm-hmm. your family's desiring that. Many of them are saved for that. And so I'd come to the point, on the one hand, I expected to go on a mission, but I just didn't care that much. I'm like, I was more interested in going to college, you know, trying to do well, to get a good job and meet a woman and those kinds of things. And so, much to my parents', I guess, shame in a way, or at least their disappointment, I decided not to go on my mission, but to go off to college. So at that point, if you would have asked, I would have still said I was a Mormon, but I was really agnostic. You know, does God exist? I mean, whatever, who cares? Mm-hmm. I want to live my life. So I went on, and it was in college that I met a woman who's now my wife, and Jennifer.
Way to go, Jennifer.
Yes, thank you. But she was raised Southern Baptist, and she made a mistake. You know, you hear about the dangers of missionary dating, uh-huh. where you're a Christian, you date a non-Christian in hopes that they'll convert. She didn't go into this, but she was just a very simple Christian. She asked the question while we were getting to know each other. She said, "Do you believe in God?" Well, I was like, "Yeah, sure." Which she took to mean I'm a Christian, so that's the green light to go out with me. And I just meant, yeah, there's probably some supernatural being out there, you know. And so we both quickly, you know, fell in love with each other. But what was challenging about this was I quickly saw how devoted she was to her faith. She was involved in a campus ministry, and she was going to church and doing these things. And there were two things that happened that really led to my conversion to Christ and the, you know, evangelical, biblical Christian faith. And that was, first, I started going to those campus ministry meetings. I wish I could say it was for some spiritual reason, but the truth is I just really liked the girl. And so if she went, I was going. But still, the Bible is being taught, mm-hmm. right? And I was starting to hear a different view on what Scripture taught. But secondly, as I started becoming more familiar with this, I realized, you know, I'd been raised my whole life to believe that the fullness of the gospel is found in Mormonism. And so if she's going to care about all these things, I kind of reverted back to, then she needs to know the fullness of the gospel. So I went from being maybe a more of a Mormon agnostic to wanting to be a kind of Mormon apologist. But I knew in order to do that, I would really need to start reading what Christians were saying against Mormonism, so that they could be refuted, and she could see, oh, you're right, the fullness of the gospel is found in Mormonism. So on the one hand, I have the campus ministry preaching the gospel to me in many ways. And then secondly, I start doing this research, the history of Joseph Smith and the founding of the Mormon Church. I start reading, you know, articles kind of looking at Mormonism and what they teach about Scripture and what Scripture teaches, and really starting to struggle, because these truths were easily documented, verifiable. I mean, I could go to the local church library or whatever and pick these books up and find these quotes. The history seemed hard to refute. And so, you know, this led to a lot of doubts and questions all of a sudden. I'm like, I can't refute these things. I mean, they seem, and you know, starting to talk to others, which that's, at least in my family, you know, that where I was going in the Mormon church, you know, you didn't start raising these questions.
Right.
So I started to wrestle with those, came to the conclusion that Joseph Smith was not a true prophet of God. He was, I think a more thorough study of his life really shows some major moral and character flaws in him. And if he's not a true prophet, then of course the church that he leads to found is not true. And in addition to some of the issues that I started seeing with the Book of Mormon and how they were interpreting the Bible. And so God basically used the Bible teaching from the campus ministry and my own personal study to really show me that there was no hope for me or for her in Mormonism. but that I actually still had a serious problem. My problem was I am under the wrath of God for my rebellion against Him, and Mormonism does not have the answer. And so what happened was, while I was in college, every spring break they'd take a mission trip down to Mexico to do construction projects and different kinds of ministry things. And I even though I was a Mormon of kind, the campus minister still let me go with them. And one of them pulled me aside as we were down there and just started, you know, confronting me with the gospel and the claims of Christ. And I realized, you know, I was definitely a sinner. Mormonism does not offer a solution for my sin. It tried to laden me down with doing more things, and I had no hope in accomplishing those responsibilities and that calling. But in Jesus Christ, He did, He accomplished what I could not. And in Jesus Christ, He died paying that wrath, that payment for that wrath that I deserve. He took upon Himself. So He was my substitute. And where I failed, He succeeded. And He took my failures upon Himself. And so you had this great exchange where He took my sin and He gave me His righteousness. And so now in Christ, I'm perfect and I don't have to earn God's favor. I have it in Christ. And I come to this realization and of course I want to have faith in Jesus. Of course I want to love Him. And so it was down there in Mexico that I came to faith in Christ. And I was baptized and, came from there to grow in the faith. I wanted to start reading the Bible that the campus minister, I mean, they didn't plan for a conversion among the team down there. So he gave me his own copy of the Bible and just says, I'll buy another one when I get home. You know, yeah. you have the Bible. And so I start growing in my faith. So, I don't know how much further you want to go on post-conversion, but that really explains a little bit more about my background and by God's grace, how I came to faith in Christ.
Well, ultimately, you ended up going to seminary because yes. That's really where we kind of met face to face.
Right.
And it was actually at an Evangelical Ministries to New Religions conference mm-hmm. that I was speaking at, and you were there, and there were other great speakers. In fact, Paul was there.
Yes, yes.
And so we got to kind of hit it off there, and mm-hmm. this is what kind of started our ministry relationship. And mm-hmm. you came on to MRM, and you were helping out with writing articles and answering emails and things like that, and developed a great relationship in that regard. As a result of this, you have also written articles on Mormonism since yes. this time. Mm-hmm. And that's what we want to talk about tomorrow, because okay. there was an article for Christianity Today. Was it just you or was there other people involved?
There were three that were asked to answer a question in the Village Green Forum.
Okay. We're going to talk about that tomorrow because there was a response to that article by a Mormon writer named Jana Reese. And I think it would be fascinating to hear your perspective on it because she mentions you, in her article. And we're going to discuss that tomorrow.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism.